Hello, this is Tom Scott with the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. In a change from what we usually do, we're not going to start on the front page, but rather turn to the inside pages. We start with a story from Ford County Circuit Court. Former pharmacist pleads guilty to felony drug charge. Vogel to be sentenced by Ford County judge on Tuesday, June 2nd. Paxton. A former Paxton pharmacist pleaded guilty last Wednesday to one count of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, a Class 3 felony, and faces penalties ranging from probation to up to 5 years in prison when sentenced in June. Jenna Lee Vogel, the one-time owner and head pharmacist of the since-shuttered Doug's Compounding Pharmacy, entered the plea in Ford County Circuit Court as part of a plea agreement negotiated between her attorney, James Martinicus of Champaign, and state's attorney, Andrew Killian. In exchange, Killian agreed to dismiss a second, more serious charge, a Class X felony count of possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, that he had filed against the 36-year-old Vogel, a Gibson City resident, in February of 2025. With Vogel's plea being an open plea, her sentence will be decided by Judge Matt Fitton, who ordered the completion of a pre-sentence investigation report ahead of a sentencing hearing set for 3 p.m. Tuesday, June 2nd. At the hearing, Fitton said he will consider the findings of the PSI, completed by Ford County's Probation and Court Services Department, and hear arguments from both Killian and Martinicus before imposing a sentence. Fitton advised Vogel that with her plea to the Class 3 felony, she faces a mandatory sentence ranging from up to 30 months of probation to anywhere from 2 to 5 years in prison, plus 1 year of mandatory supervised release. In the meantime, Vogel remains free under a pretrial release order issued upon her arraignment last March. According to charging documents, the Class 3 felony alleged that Vogel knowingly possessed with the intent to deliver an amount of amphetamine on March 10, 2023, while the dismissed charge alleged that she knowingly possessed with the intent to deliver 10 grams or more of a substance containing hydrocodone on that date. It was on that same date when 43,893 controlled substances were removed from the Vogel home in Gibson City by investigators for the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, according to a complaint that led to the temporary suspension of her registered pharmacist license by the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation. The drugs included medications in their original manufacture bottles, as well as unlabeled vials, containers of compounded creams, and products with and without product name, and loose tablets and capsules in the bottoms of bags and totes, the complaint said. Only some of them were Vogel's prescriptions. 3 days later, the complaint said, Vogel's then-husband turned over to the DEA some of the antihypertensive drug clonidine that had been found in their home. According to the complaint, Vogel's pharmacy at 137 North Market Street in Paxton, which closed suddenly months earlier, had purchased more than 50,000 tablets of clonidine, but never sold them. Meanwhile, her three kids' child care providers said they had noticed the kids were sleepy and lethargic. The complaint, filed by Mary Meehan, Chief of Health-Related Prosecutions for the Illinois Department of Financial and Professional Regulation, led to a finding that Vogel poses an imminent danger to the public, and the suspension of Vogel's license effective May 5, 2023. Next, something from the Ford County Board. Burnett appointed interim treasurer through November 30th. On December 1st, she will then begin her first elected term as treasurer. The Ford County Board on Monday, April 13th, approved the appointment of Taylor Burnett as interim county treasurer, filling a vacancy declared the previous Friday upon the resignation of two-term treasurer Krisha Whitcomb. The deputy clerk in the treasurer's office since last June, Burnett was unopposed in the March 17th primary election and is again unchallenged in the November 3rd general election for a four-year term as treasurer. As interim treasurer, Burnett will serve the remaining several months of Whitcomb's current four-year term through November 30th, before Burnett's first four-year term begins. Whitcomb, who had served as treasurer since 2018, did not seek a third term last fall and then resigned this spring, effective Friday, April 10th. The board formally declared the position vacant during a special meeting that same day. Burnett, a Paxton native who graduated from Paxton Buckley Lota High School, has previous experience in finance working at the Frederick Community Bank and the former Farmers Merchants National Bank of Illinois, both in Paxton. Burnett's appointment was approved unanimously, with three board members absent, Chairman Chase McCall of Gibson City, Randy Ferguson of Gibson City, and Gene May of Paxton. Also during Monday night's county board meeting held in the boardroom of the basement of the county jail and sheriff's office in Paxton, the board approved resolutions establishing the compensation of the county clerk and recorder and county treasurer. Both salaries start at $67,000 per year as of December 1, 2026, and rise by $2,000 per year each year before finishing at $73,000 as of December 1, 2029. The board approved the low bids for this summer's county and township road maintenance project funded by motor fuel tax revenue. And the board tabled until May the approval of updates for the county's employee handbook. The board approved an agreement between the Sheriff's Office and Lexipol for the annual law enforcement policy manual, annual corrections policy manual, and daily trainings bulletins. The board approved the hiring of a part-time deputy coordinator for the Ford County Emergency Management Agency at an annual salary of $4,400. And the board approved the reappointment of William Mannert as trustee for the Piper City Fire Protection District Board through May 2029. And highway engineer Alan Harwood said two bids were received for bridge work in Button Township, with Toby's Construction and Cartage Incorporated being the low bidder at $345,897. Harwood gave a brief explanation of township motor fuel tax funds and how they are divided up based on the number of miles of road in each township and their respective equalized assessed valuations. Greg Newell of Rural Lota, chairman of the board's farm committee, said bids are being solicited for waterway and terrace maintenance work at two county-owned farms, farms 2 and 3, with bids to be opened at the board's May 11th meeting. And Ford County Public Health Administrator Glenn Miller said mailbox-like containers will be installed in Kempton, Piper City, and Gibson City to protect used needles. Also, Narcan distribution stations are being placed around the county. The health department will also sponsor a back-to-school vaccination clinic on Saturday, August 1st, with donated school supplies to be distributed to families that day, too. And local ridership through Futures Connections, Rural Public Transportation Program, has nearly doubled in the past month, said Rural Board member Tim Nuss of Rural Roberts. And Nuss asked for a moment of silence in memory of Dennis Higgins, the county's 9/11 coordinator, who died recently. Dennis was quite a member of the community, Nuss said. And also from Ford County Circuit Court, judge orders detainment of ex-teacher through his trial. Muser's next court hearing set for April 22nd. Paxton. A former Paxton Buckley Loda High School teacher accused of soliciting a teenager for sex will remain jailed through the trial, a judge ruled Thursday. During a rescheduled detention hearing in Ford County Circuit Court, Livingston County Judge Mary Cole, who was recently reassigned the case, granted Ford County State's Attorney Andrew Killian's petition to deny the pretrial release of Paul L. Muser, 72, of Buckley, according to online court records. In the petition, Killian noted that Muser, who remains at the Ford County Jail in Paxton, would pose a real and present threat to the safety of the community if released. Cole scheduled a preliminary hearing for 9:45 a.m. Wednesday, April 22nd, at the Ford County Courthouse. Muser's detention hearing had been scheduled for that same date before it was moved up to Thursday. Muser, who has been in custody since his March 16th arrest on a warrant in Oklahoma, is charged with two counts of attempted criminal sexual assault, a Class 2 felony, one count of indecent solicitation of a child, a Class 2 felony, and one count of grooming, a Class 4 felony. Muser, a 2024 PBL alumni, a Hall of Fame inductee, and 1972 Paxton High School graduate who led an accomplished Hall of Fame career as a head boys basketball coach at various high schools in Oklahoma, allegedly invited a teenager to his home last Christmas Eve, intending to commit a sexual act with the teen, according to charging documents. Also, between January of 2025 and December 24th of 2025, Muser allegedly offered the teen snacks and money, discussed things of a sexual nature, including his desire to perform acts of sexual penetration with the child, and exchanged emails with the teen outside of school, according to charging documents. Muser was placed on administrative leave from his position as a driver's education and physical education teacher on March 8th, amid an investigation into alleged inappropriate communications with a minor, and he then resigned on March 11th, according to PBL's interim superintendent, John Kilgore. If convicted, Muser would face a sentence ranging from probation to up to 7 years in prison for each Class 2 felony, along with a term ranging from probation to up to 3 years in prison for the Class 4 felony. Now we'll turn back to the front page and pick that up with a story from the Paxton Foundation by Dave Hinton. Well worth preserving. Hundreds of eastbound and westbound motorists rocket past them daily along Illinois 9. The landmarks sit at about 2.5 miles west of Paxton, yet few people pay them any mind other than perhaps wonder about the origin of their names. Let's jump in the Wayback Machine to the 1800s, to a less hurried time when William Gunsmith Bill Trickle set up perhaps the area's first business and post office at what came to be called 10 Mile Grove at a fork in the Ottawa Trail. Trickle's cousin, Prairie Bill Trickle, would also reside in the area and establish a gravel pit business. Nearby, the Howard Thompson's Memorial Nature Preserve is open to the public on weekends during part of the year. Years ago, part of the region was leased to Chanute Air Force Base for a recreation area and included the adjacent ponds, which are not part of the nature preserve. Both the Grove and Historic Trail area and the nature preserve are part of the area's long-held history, yet few know their roots. The non-profit Paxton Foundation has been involved with both properties. 10 Mile Grove and the Ottawa Trail. Settlers traveling along the Ottawa Trail in the early 1800s found Ten Mile Grove, which spans several miles past the Red Barn west of Paxton that bears its name, a welcome rest stop, providing timber and shelter. The Ottawa Trail was certainly no paved thoroughfare. It was a rough stretch of byway that started in Danville. Paxton retains a nod to the history of the trail with Ottawa Road that runs east-west through Paxton. At Ten Mile Grove, the trail forked west and northwest. The western fork headed towards Saybrook and the northwestern fork toward Ottawa. The Ford County Historical Society and the Illinois State Historical Society dedicated a historical marker at the site on January 1, 1988 to commemorate the significance of the location. Ten Mile Grove is so called because of its distance from the nearest stop, Trickle Grove, southeast in the Dogtown area, both ironically named by gunsmith Bill Trickle. Different segments of the family spelt their last name T-R-I-C-K-L-E or T-R-I-C-K-E-L, according to family member Mary Ellen Griffin. Griffin is a descendant of Prairie Bill Trickle, her great-grandfather, and resides at 10 miles. The Trickles were the first permanent white settlers in the area, she said. Gunsmith Bill opened a general store and blacksmith shop in 1848. In their book, The Chronicles Paxton's Roots, A Ticket to the Best, William W. Saar and Shirley Hillman Johnson beg readers' indulgence when they paint a picture of some of those who were part of founding and molding the character of Paxton. They describe what the two Trickle cousins might have looked like as they rode in the author's imaginary parade in July 1912. Prairie Bill and Gunsmith Bill resembled reincarnated Ichabod Cranes, tall, lanky, and loosely hung together, Saar and Hillman Johnson wrote. Gunsmith Bill cradles a long rifle across his saddle. Each man wears worn and patched linsey-woolsey clothing. They stare straight ahead and appear uncomfortable and resentful as they ride on the spot where they remember that prairie flowers once bloomed, their time and way of life when the railroad scarred the ancient landscape. Being in crowds never fit the Trickles well. At least one of the Trickle cousins, apparently, was not afraid to be part of the community's social fabric once it was settled. Quoting remarks by early resident Orrin Taft, the book described Gunsmith Bill as the whole orchestra at the first dance held in Paxton at Cloy's Brothers Store, a one-story building on the southwest corner of Market and Pell Street before they moved in. I could still hear Bill Trickle call out, "Jim Mix, swing your partner clean around," Taft was quoted as saying. Taft also remembered Gunsmith Bill as he played his fiddle at a dance, and he remembered that Trickle helped to build the first crude railroad station. Before Prairie City, or Prospect City, two names for Paxton, was founded, it was recorded that on October 6, 1854, a post office had been established at the William Trickle store at Ten Mile Grove at the fork in the Ottawa Trail. The post office was moved to Prospect City, Paxton, in 1857. Not as much written information exists on Prairie Bill Trickle. Griffin said Prairie Bill farmed a 5-acre plot where she now lives. They had cows and chickens and a big garden, Griffin said. They lived on this 5 acres easily. Later, Trickle established a gravel pit north of the property. Sadly, John Peterson, a Civil War veteran who helped to construct some of the gravel roads in the country, was killed at the pit in a gravel slide that crushed him against a wagon wheel in 1895. He was 58 years old. The red 10 Mile Grove barn that sits on the property south of Illinois 9 was given to the Paxton Foundation by Lois Johnson Harness and Ron Harness. The Paxton Foundation contacted Bert Hellriegel to move the barn 80 feet back from the highway. Then we straightened it and spent about $80,000 restoring it, Royce Baer, a founding member of the foundation, said. The foundation has since given the barn back to the Harness heirs, the Johnson family. Originally, the barn was much larger. What you see now is the working part, Baer said. We put in a stone drive and four bays. We set it on a concrete slab to prevent groundhogs from burrowing underneath. Now we'll turn to the obituaries in the Ford County Chronicle for Wednesday, April 15th. Dennis J. Higgins, Gibson City. Dennis J. Higgins, 75, of Gibson City, died Friday, April 10th at the Gibson Hospital Annex in Gibson City. Funeral services will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, April 18th at the First Christian Church in Gibson City, with the Reverend Robert Pushy officiating. Masonic rites will be accorded at 9 a.m. followed by a visitation until 11 a.m. Burial will follow the service at Drummer Township Cemetery in Gibson City. Memorials may be made to the First Christian Church in the Gibson City Masonic Lodge No. 733 or the Gibson Area Hospital Annex Activity Fund. Boyd L. Hummel, Chatsworth. A memorial service for Boyd L. Hummel, 86, of Gibson City, formerly of Chatsworth, will be at 11 a.m. Saturday, April 18th at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Chatsworth. Visitation will be from 10 to 11 a.m. Saturday, April 18th at the church. A private burial will take place at Germanville Township Cemetery. Lynn Ann Ingold, Paxton. Lynn Ann Ingold, 75, of Paxton, died early Thursday, April 9th, with her family surrounding her. Funeral services were held Monday, April 13th, at the First United Methodist Church in Paxton. Burial followed at Glen Cemetery in Paxton. Memorials may be made to her church, the First United Methodist Church in Paxton, or to ALS United in Peoria. Ronald Ray Kuhn, and that's spelled K-U-H-N, Cisna Park. Ronald Ray Kuhn, 69, a graduate of Cisna Park High School, died Monday, April 6th in Danville. A private service for family will be at 1 p.m. Saturday, May 23rd at the Cisna Park Cemetery, preceded by a celebration of his life at the Cisna Park Family Restaurant. Those who wish to donate in his honor may direct their donations to the Pride Link Group, care of Age Link, Area on Aging, Lincolnland, South MacArthur Boulevard in Springfield. James M. Tilley, Buckley. James Mitchell Tilley, 52, of Buckley, died Sunday, April 5th at his home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at the time of publication. Nancy M. Zacko, and that's spelled Z-A-C-H-G-O, Onarga. Nancy M. Schreierfer Zacko, 87, of rural Onarga, died Friday, April 10th at St. Mary's Hospital in Kankakee with her family by her side. Funeral services were held Thursday, April 16th at the St. Paul Lutheran Church in Gilman, with the Reverends Chris Schoon and Rich Johnson officiate. burial follow at the Gilman Cemetery. Memorials may be made to the Gilman Fire Department, the St. Paul Lutheran Church, or St. Jude's Children's Research Hospital. Daniel J. Breeden, Chatsworth. Daniel J. Breeden, 52, of Chatsworth, died Friday, April 10th at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington. A celebration of his life will be held at a later date. Memorial contributions may be made to the family. We'll return to the news and conclude with a story written by Lily Young, the high school student who is a Chronicle News Reporter intern. Paxton Buckley Lota High School. From Ecuador to Paxton, teachers bring culture, traditions to classroom. Spanish teachers Miguel Terran and Santiago Nasavilla enjoying time at PBL High, Paxton. Miguel Terran and Santiago Nasavilla make it a priority in their respective classrooms at Paxton Buckley Lota High School to teach their students not just the Spanish language as spoken in their native Ecuador, but about the culture and traditions in their South American homeland, too. From food to dances to music to art. Just last week, we were working on lessons about different kinds of food and dances in Ecuador, Nasavilla said. When you learn about another language, you learn the cultures and traditions of the country as well. Both Nasavilla and Tehran try to make it fun. I try to apply daily life activities and some songs, Tehran said. They like to learn new songs and sing them. The two Spanish teachers have been in the U.S., some 2,500 miles from Ecuador, since late summer 2024, when they joined the staff of PBL High School. A few months earlier, the school board approved a memorandum of understanding with Global Educational Concepts to allow the district to work with the company to find candidates from outside the U.S. to fill vacant teaching positions at PBL schools in foreign language in particular, amid the continued teacher shortage statewide and nationally. Here, on work visas, Nasavilla and Tehran both come here with an abundance of teaching experience. Coincidentally, both also did not originally plan to become teachers. You never know life's plans, Nasavilla said. Tehran, who teaches Spanish 3 and 4 at PBL High School, said he had been a teacher for more than 20 years in various places after having attended the Universidad Particular de Loja for his own studies. Tehran said he originally was studying to become an agricultural engineer, but then changed his major after 3.5 months study abroad opportunity in Canada. Nasavilla, who teaches Spanish 1 and 2 at PBL High School, said he had been teaching for about 15 years, originally having taught various grades in Quito, Ecuador, near his home. Nasavilla said he originally wanted to become a doctor, but then decided to become a teacher upon the suggestion of a friend who mentioned that it would allow him to travel the world. Both teachers said they believe it is important to teach different world views, allowing students to understand the world is bigger than they might think, and that there is so much to learn from different languages to cultures to life lessons. Both Nasavilla and Tehran hope to stick around Paxton for a while longer, at least, before likely exploring the world further themselves with goals of eventually teaching in Europe or another continent. And that's all the time we have for this week's reading of the Ford County Chronicle. This is Tom Scott. I look forward to reading with you again very soon.